This is the Creative Sports Podcast. My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me are Garrett Wright.
I'm in a weird mood right now, so this should be fun.
And Brock Rom.
We'll see about that.
How do you get buy-in from your bosses? Rob Alvarino, VP of Content and Production with the Kansas City Chiefs, is here to share how he got into this business and why he's been trusted to build three in-house production units with the Eagles, Chiefs, and 49ers.
3, 2, 1, clap. We'll clap on clap. 3, 2, 1, clap. I'm an idiot. I say we're going to clap on clap every time, and I do it afterwards.
Hey, what's going on? It's Justin. Just wanted to give a shout out to APM for providing the track for us here on the Creative Sports Podcast. We're doing this podcast as an extension of the sports creative community on Slack. So if you're finding us and aren't a member of the community yet, you can sign up for free at sportscreativeslack.com.
Happy to be joined today by Rob Alvarino, Vice President of Content and Production at the Kansas City Chiefs. Rob, thanks so much for coming on the podcast today.
Well, Brock, thanks so much for rocking that shirt, man. You're making me feel at home a little bit. I like it. I already like it.
For the audio listeners, I didn't even think about that this morning. I have a Kansas City hat that my wife got me that has the shuttlecock on it. If you've ever been to Kansas City, it has the big shuttlecock that's outside of the museum on that. And then my shirt today that I just pulled out of the drawer is an old Chiefs training camp T-shirt. So I'm all Kansas City'd up today.
I love it. I was going to say, you should have told the listeners that if it was only audio, you should say he had a picture of Rob Alvarino on his shirt. And even look, that was, you could have taken it to the next level.
Full screen print of Rob Alvarino on my shirt. No, Rob, excited to have you on. We've wanted to have you on for a little bit now, but for people who don't know who you are, why don't you just give a little background on your career? You've been a couple different places in the league and how you got to where you are now.
Yeah, absolutely, Brock. And first of all, again, thanks for having me on and being patient. I know it's crazy. I've been in transition because I'm in my second tour of duty here with the Chiefs, and I'll explain how that happened. But so I started off as basically at a film company in Pittsburgh. Long story short, was doing some really, really boring stuff, some production, corporate production. But that actually led me to doing some work for Penn State football, doing really, really the renaissance show for college football back in the day. This is in the mid 90s, and this is prior to any big schools having production crews. They're doing amazing things on the collegiate level now. This was back in the day when we were creating VHSs to send to kids to recruit them. I had gotten a look by NFL Films and became one of their youngest filmmakers in their history, which was pretty wonderful. I got to work with about 19 different talented folks. And of course, in charge of us all was Steve Sable. May he rest in peace. He's the greatest sports storyteller, cinematographer that ever was. And so learned underneath Steve for a few years and then was a part of another first, which was working with the Philadelphia Eagles in the early days of in-house production groups, created the Eagles Television Network in 1997, which was really one of the first in-house groups, if not the first, to sort of take this, have a mini NFL Films for a team. Did that for 14 years, and then was asked to come here to Kansas City in 2010 to 2012, really three seasons, and did some really wonderful things with a wonderful team that actually you were right on the tail of that. So for those out there listening, you know, Brock is a brother in arms out here as well with us, and did some great things with an awful team, with an absolutely awful team. Talk about making chicken salad out of chicken poo. That was it. But a lot of other teams took note. One of those teams was the San Francisco 49ers. And in 2013, I joined the club to come and basically do the two things that I had done, create the Eagles Television Network, create 65 Toss Power Trap, which was the Chiefs version of the Eagles Television Network. Created 49er Studios in 2013 and rose through the ranks at the 49ers and had a great 8-year run. And then there was an opportunity to return home. And in truth, I missed Kansas City the day I put it in my rearview mirror. Ownership, leadership, and the talent that was here, and just the town itself and my friends and my family in town, was able to come back, took a knee, shed some tears, and headed back in March of this year. So I've been here, shoot, it's been about 4 or 5 months right now. And it's a dream come true. With the exception of the humidity, it's a dream come true. So yeah, we're back. And I'm in charge of, long story short, I'm in charge of anything that moves and makes sound, from the big screens to the little screens, connecting with the players, telling the stories. You know, I consider myself a storyteller at all levels, and just putting out great stuff for folks to connect with the team. And the team's pretty damn good on the field. So right now, my job's, knock on wood, my job's easy.
I want to get into a couple things with you, and potentially into the weeds here a little bit, because of the stops you've had and the success you've had where you've went. I think one thing that I've always been impressed with you in your career is you seem to have a knack to get, whether that's team presidents, ownerships, GM, coaches, to really buy into to your vision and what you're doing and what you want to do. I think a lot of, especially young creatives and people who are young in management roles who listen to this podcast, maybe struggle with that a little bit. What's your approach there, and how do you get, you know, team presidents, GMs, ownership to really buy in and say, no, yeah, Rob's right. This is what we need to do, and this is how we need to do it.
Yeah. So great, great question. And probably Brock and anybody out there listening, the most difficult thing to do. I think that it is very easy to create great content. There are some tremendous women and men out there creating unbelievable content. That to me is the easy part. The what you mentioned, Brock, specifically is trust. How do you create trust? And how do you create trust so much so that it can actually tailor make a path for your team? We could probably do 5 or 6 podcasts just on this alone, but I've been very lucky to have, there are 3 people that I'd like to cite on this. One is Mark Donovan. One is Len Komorowski, who is now the current. So Mark Donovan, again, maybe I'm giving too much leeway. Mark Donovan is the president of the Kansas City Chiefs. Len Komorowski is the president of the Cleveland Cavaliers, my former boss at the Eagles, who was replaced by Mark Donovan. Of course, Mark came to the Chiefs, and then I came here. And then after Mark, I had an incredible president as well named Gideon Yu. And Gideon was with me for only 1 year in San Francisco. However, those 3 guys, to your point, shared the very same DNA that I think can answer that question. It is, they wanted to see me take as many shots as possible. And I was told by Gideon specifically to my face, I want to see you fail. And I kind of winced when he said that, because the word fail has obviously a terrible connotation to it. But what he meant was like, look, man, I want to see you taking so many chances that they all don't work. Not everything we do is going to work. But with a person like a Mark Donovan, who is a visionary, right? What I really love about my current boss and somebody I've been with for almost 15, 20 years, is that he knew what he wasn't an expert at. You know, people always say like, I know what I don't know. Like, he knows what he doesn't know. He does not know how to put together a game plan, a story, pull together these incredible women and men to create a product. So he puts me in a position to succeed. And the best presidents I've been around, Len Komorowski as well, when I was in the Eagles in their young years, these are people who allow you to spread your wings, have extreme accountability. But if you go and you present to them a game plan, a Mark specifically, I used to go to Mark and I would have a game plan. Let's just assume, for those who can't see, I'm holding my phone up. And if the phone represents 100% game plan, I would say, hey, Mark, here's my game plan. Look at this. He would look at it and know that, hey, man, if you check the corners and there might be a little crack in that corner or whatever it might be. He was so good at analyzing my game plan and just making a little tiny tweak so that I could then go and ask for, whether it's gear, whether it's access, whether it's more bodies, whether it's money just to get things done. He just wants a little say to make sure the game plan is right, but he was so good at seeing the inconsistencies of what I would present that then his trust even grew, because we would go out there and frankly, there wasn't anything that we didn't touch that didn't turn to gold, specifically because we had guidance from the top. We had terrific people working on it from the ground. And, you know, is everything going to be a home run? No. But if you can probably, you know, if you can bat .900 in you know, one out of every 10 projects you work on is just okay, if the other nine are fabulous, you will get anything you want. And the nice thing, again, about sports, which Brock, probably you know, is, hey, man, it's a small world. And, you know, I can attest to, you know, my son told me something brilliant. He actually works for the Minnesota Vikings. And when I was trying to figure out which team I was going to join, because there was all these different thought processes of job openings in 2021, he said, Dad, you know, you have, you've never burned a bridge. You've done all these great things. Now you have 1,000 roads to get you to where you want to go. It's the same thing that you just said. If you use the company's money and their trust as if it were your own, and you build your path and you build your, you know, you build your arsenal of incredible people and incredible content. The good news about our business, Brock, is it's for everybody to see. It's arts and crafts at its finest, and your resume is on display every single week. And thus, presidents can say, hey, this is going to make me money. This guy knows what he's doing. He can put together a team of great people and he can take us to the next level. I can sit back and I can enjoy that success. It takes a little time, but, you know, trust is, you know, gathered in drops and it's spilled in buckets. So if you never spill it, you got big buckets of trust that help you push along.
You mentioned in there having a great team to work on your content, building that team. I obviously, you had left to San Francisco by the time I had gotten to the Chiefs, but I got to reap the benefits of the team you built there, right? I always say, you know, again, to the listeners behind me, I have my Emmys back behind me on my shelf.
Yeah, you do.
I say I wouldn't have won a single one of those. There's only one Emmy that has one name on it. That's mine. That was a total fluke win. I've been through that before.
Not true.
Everything else on there has team names on it, especially, you know, one person in particular, Jody Mastad, is on most of those. But what does it take to build that team, that award-winning team, and especially at a place like the Eagles where you started from the ground up, and then to Kansas City where you essentially started from the ground up as well?
So one of my favorite things is just putting myself around people who want to be here as much as I do. I just sat down with my team, as we have two openings for producers currently. And we sat around with, from the most novice producer on my crew to my director of production. And I always find that it's super, super democratic when I'm trying to bring people in, when I'm trying to build a team. I like to think that it's all about the we. I know this sounds like it's trite, or if I'm placating a crew, but I'm not. Nothing is done by one single person. That's why I love what you just said about the Emmys. I think that, you know, you have to use the footage that's shot. You have to use the music that's chosen. People, you got your tech guy helping you make sure your edit suite's, you know, flying. What about the financial guy who gets you the money to buy that stuff? Like, it definitely takes a team to achieve the things that we need to do. When I'm putting together a team, when I'm trying to figure out where it is, I look for three things. And the last thing I look for is how talented you are. Because I sat around with my team the other day and we talked about this. Anybody can do what we do, Brock. Anybody can learn how to write, learn how to cut, learn how to shoot. That's the easy part. It's finding good human beings. Jodane Massad might be one of the best I've ever been around. You're talking about a guy who's kind, who's got courage, who's got empathy, who's got all the things you're looking for. He's a good leader. He's patient. Every one of those things that I just said, not teachable. Either you're a good human or you're not. It's hard to teach somebody how to be a good teammate. The next thing I look for is somebody who's got a lot of versatility. Again, this isn't necessarily a talent thing, but it's, you know, long gone are the days where you just have a shooter or you just have an editor. You know, you've got to find somebody who can do all those things so you can fill that cabinet up with statues, or you can build that trust with the Mark Donovans of the world. Again, not necessarily teachable, a teachable item. You know, versatility is important. And I don't mean being just a good shooter, being just a good editor. I'm talking about being an active listener, being a really, really good teammate, being an idea woman or man, whatever it might be. And then the last thing is, if you have these elements, these two elements, I use my hands a lot because I'm Italian. So if you're listening, you don't see it, you don't get all the effect, but you get these two elements over here. Then we look at talent. Again, I will always opt. And I swear to you, less than 24 hours ago, I had this very conversation. Give me the people who have leadership and charisma and maybe a little less talent over the person who's got an extreme talent, but is unable to connect with the team. Because the upside of the person with charisma and leadership is who I want to be with. That's the person who I want on my team. And that's how I build teams. In fairness, though, when I joined this team 4 months ago, there were some people that I had actually hired in my stint prior. However, boy, did I pull the jackpot with the team that I have here. Incredible group here, like ready to rock. When I was working with them prior to even coming, when I was working with them from the Bay prior to even coming to Kansas City, they were on, I mean, from every camera on during Zooms to over information, like get ready for the stuff we're about to put out because it's going to be ridiculous.
That segues perfectly into my next question, which is your leadership style. And one thing I've always heard former employees of yours talk about, the type of motivator you are. People always told me that Rob, no matter what you were working on, made it seem like you were working on the most important thing in the entire organization, which I took to heart when I moved into a management role at Notre Dame. I thought, wow, what a brilliant thing to help motivate, right? Because every piece of content really is important, and every piece of content as a whole is the most important thing to the organization. How did you develop that leadership style, and how do you motivate your crew on a day-to-day basis?
You know, that's an easy question, and I appreciate the love. There are some people who, I'll be honest, probably don't appreciate that leadership, but the people that have flourished in my family tree, and I can give you names by the dozens, are people that I've kept super, super close with because they have taken that success and moved it on. You know, some people opt for a little bit more of a soft touch, or if you do a good job, if Brock walks into my office, does a good job, I'm hugging him, period. Although if he does a crappy job, I'm going to shut the door and be like, dude, that wasn't good. And we got to work on how we do this. You know, it's sort of the old participation medal. A lot of people want, they don't give out participation Emmys. They don't give out participation paychecks. They just don't give it out. And so my job is to make the women and men who work with me really, really good. Take their talents and make them even better. I treat them like their family. I treat them like everything they're working on is the most important thing, because we're only as good as the last thing we did. And frankly, you might say, hey, Rob, I'm building something for 80,000 people in the stadium. And the other teammate might say, I'm building something for our president and our owner. You tell me which one's more important. I would argue they're both equally as important. Or somebody's doing a sales demo for a CEO of a company. Maybe six sets of eyeballs are going to see it versus something on Twitter that maybe 2 million are going to see. You tell me what's more important. What if one locks down a $100 million deal legitimately? What's more important? They're both equally important. And so I always look at that. I look at everything as like, let's not cut corners. Let's make sure we do things. But when you walk in here, be prepared to get my truth on it. But also be prepared to get a hug if it's good, or a high five that stings your hand, because like we're going for it. And my goal is simply to have my team super coveted. I want my team to be like you, have a cabinet full of Emmys, and you know, go from place to place and have pelts on their wall, so that when I'm 70 and I need an internship, I call Brock or I call Jodane or I call Will Blackwell or Aaron Kennedy and be like, dude, I just, let me carry your sticks because I'm too old to do anything anymore.
You're lining up my questions like perfect here. Carrying sticks, you might be the most hands on VP in the entire league. It's not uncommon to see you out on shoots carrying a camera on your shoulder. Why is that? Why do you feel the need to stay hands on with your crew like that?
So I was just out. I'll give you an experiential. All of my producers, I tell them, like the women and men who are working here, I'm like, everybody go take vacay, because guess what? Training camp's about to come. Well, little did I know, Brock, they were all going to take vacation at the same time, and it was all last week, right? So myself and a guy that I just recently hired with Glenn Connolly, our director of production, his name's Andrew Feely. I'm going to give him a little shout out. He's the lone producer, like for 2 days with us. I'm like, bro, we got to go put a player up in the Blue Angels. And it's, I don't know, it's a balmy 102 here in Kansas City on black tarmac, and jets are flying around. So that adds to the heat and humidity. Well, I'm carrying his sticks. He's carrying in a mirror. That thing had to weigh 60 pounds, for God's sakes. I'm carrying gear. I've got a backpack. And he's looking at me like, hey, Rob, can I take that? I can't believe you're walking around with all that stuff. And I'm like, we are a small production company. There's about 14 of us that are content creators. If I made you hump all that gear, first of all, I'd be an awful leader. Secondly, I'd be the exact opposite of the guy that we just talked about that you're looking to hire. Like, no job's too big or too small. We're all going to take care of business. But to answer your question directly is, I don't think you can get from... One of my favorite things is when people walk by and don't know that I'm a vice president, and then they find out. I love that. And that happened in San Francisco, and that happened in Philadelphia, because you're in the mix all the time. But I also don't think you can get to this point in your career and look yourself in the mirror if you haven't done all the things that everybody's done. So when I talk to my audio guy, or when I talk to the woman shooting camera, or when I talk to my photog, I actually can talk to them as if I was in their shoes before, because I was. And that's why I continue it on. And it's a great question, but I also like to be out in the field. And the best part about sports, and I'll bet you everybody listening to this will agree, that it's just not the same every day. You know, no offense to accountants, no offense to teachers, no offense to, like, I love being in shorts one day at training camp and sweating my tail off, or being at a Blue Angel flyover, or sitting with our president, or, you know, writing a script on Juneteenth, whatever it might be. Let's come up with, let's make it different every day. That's what makes it so wonderful. So I think knowing how my team operates, because I operated in there, allows me to be a more efficient, more mindful leader.
It's one of the phrases I really hate in our industry is jack of all trades, master of none. I think it's, you know, the Chiefs, you know, personally gave me an opportunity to be a jack of all trades. And I was forever grateful of that, because it really made me realize where I specialized in and what I was really, really good at, which was really the technical side. Not saying I didn't like editing, I didn't like shooting. I still love editing, I still love shooting. I do it in my spare time all the time. But now with those skills, I can speak to shooters and editors in a way that I couldn't if I hadn't done that for years and years and years, you know, in my past. How do you manage a crew that way, where you really do allow people to, one day you could be doing, you know, work in the production truck for preseason TV, right? And then the next day you're out and you're shooting a feature for your weekly TV show. How do you balance those roles internally at the Chiefs now? I know how it used to be, but how is it now?
Sure. So again, I do rely on my team on a lot of things. And number one is trust. Trust that you're doing the job that you're supposed to do. I also have some really, really good lieutenants. You know, Brad Young, who you know really well, he handles all of our game day. So he's basically our live events lieutenant. Then, of course, I've got a guy like Glenn, who I mentioned, who's my director of production. So these guys are air traffic controllers, in essence, for their crews. So I'm working through them, and also at times literally working with their direct reports. I think knocking down those walls is very, very important. Understanding where everybody's moving, but trusting that they're going in the direction. I don't like to, I'm not a micromanage-y kind of guy. I was just given Greg, our social producer, Greg Tonga, Tanj, I got to pronounce his name right. I think it's cool both ways. But Greg was, I was just giving him love, because here's a younger guy, and he's one of the most autonomous guys. I can tell him, like, hey, Greg, look, here's what I need you to do. I need you to do this, and this is how I want to see it, and this is how I want to compose. Here's the piece of music. Let's come back and let's take a look at it. He literally won't say a word unless he has questions, and he will attack it. And when I come back, when I tell you maybe just a tweak here or there, and this kid puts out really, really great work. He does a great job. I spread that across the entire team. There is not a person on this team who doesn't take that autonomous direction and attack. And I think that's because of leaders like Brad and Glenn. I think it's because they're really focused and they love their product. But I think that leadership of not, like, hovering over them and, you know, and being on top of them, they can get that done. But knowing that my directors are going to put them in position to succeed really helps me, and that I don't have to to really be hands-on all the time. I can be hands-on when I feel like they need a body, or maybe it's a good learning opportunity. I'm not sure if I necessarily answered your question, but I think that the thought process is we're all professionals here. You know, whether you're 25 or you're 51, and I expect the same out of everybody, whether you've been here for a year or you've been here for 27 years. And the nice thing is, because we have assembled this crew here and we're looking to build onto it even more, we're only looking for people who can handle those course loads and be super pros at it. And I'm telling you again, I'll go back to pulling the slot machine and pulling 3.7s. It's unbelievable to show up and have that type of passion and professionalism already in your bullpen.
We're going to go back a few questions to when we were talking about content strategy early on in your very first question. You talked about working with a team that had a really bad product on the field, right? Those early years with the Chiefs. Those were not good football teams, right? And not easy to cover. You absolutely had to pivot, and one of the great pivots there was the creation of Chiefs Kingdom, which is a fan focused show. For those who don't know at home, it's really, you know, kind of the fan and tradition side of things, and a docuseries about that. What is, first of all, what's that content strategy look like now for a team that has been to two consecutive Super Bowls and won one versus the content pivot you had to make back then to be more fan focused at the time?
All right. So I got a great story for you on how that actually got created. So we were such a bad football team that I think that we were unwatchable in many cases. And if you are a football fan, you can remember, I mean, there's nothing worse than 2-14 or, I mean, sometimes like NFL purgatory was at the time when there was a 16 game schedule was 7-9. 2-14 is like abysmal. Not only weren't we good on the field, but we didn't even have access to cover the bad team that we needed, right? And when I say we had some access, we were able to wire some players and this and that, but the access we get from Andy is light years from where we had when we had, you know, I think we had a few coaches in that time, but it was Todd Haley specifically, who actually was a madman, but was fun to cover because he was such a madman. But we had Scott Pioli as our GM, who came from the Patriots. So the Patriots way was really to kind of like just keep it in-house. So I remember just being upset that I didn't have access, Brock. And I walked into my office. I probably slammed the door. And it was just a couple of doors down. And Joe Dane walked in. Hopefully he's listening, because I'm going to tell him to watch this. And he came. I was like, dude, we cannot get any access, but I have an idea. He's like, boss, let me hear it. I'm like, here's the idea. What do you want to do for a living? And I knew what his answer was. I was like, I want to be a documentarian. This kid was the best storyteller. He had the best eye. Sometimes I wanted to speed him up a little bit in edits. Sometimes I'm like, come on, bro, let's go. You're nodding for those who can't see, so you know. But this kid could tell a story. And I'm like, I got an idea. What if we did a documentary on the fans? We're going to get all the access we ever want. Fans will let us infiltrate their life because we're not getting it here. By the way, nobody wants to cover the team. They're just not good right now. So let's start this. He's like, I'm in. And that was the impetus of it. Started out of frustration. It didn't even start out of ideation of awesomeness. It was like, God, we don't have any access. Let's make our own access. Okay. So that's that side of the deal. When a team is bad, basketball, hockey, baseball, football, you have to focus on A, community, or B, the story. Tell me why you love Brock. Go into his family. Go to his hometown. Where does he get his hair cut? Like, just go behind the scenes with him, because the on-the-field stuff's just not, or the on-the-court stuff, or wherever he might be, is not working. So we did that with the fans, and we did that with the players. That is a tried and true way to get kick butt content when you need it. However, when your team is amazing and when you land at a team and God opened the skies for me to come here, and you've got a Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Tyrann Mathieu, I can keep going. And I can tell you, I just did media day with these guys and the PR crew told me that this is the best team they've ever been around. I thought they were lying to me. They weren't even remotely off. From the top to the bottom, the team was super receptive. Anything you need, Rob, how do we do it? I'm like, oh my God, this is a dream come true, because they're also super amazing on the field. The content strategy doesn't change. It doesn't change. No one's going to root for the KC on the side of our helmet. We have to humanize these guys. We have to, and let's say it's the cheer team. You know, we have men and women on our cheer team. We've got to humanize them too. We got to let you, you got to get to know everybody behind the scenes, whether it's the chef or the grounds guy or Rick Burkholder, all these amazing people that keep this team running. Let's humanize the team. Oh, by the way, now we also get to do the on the field stuff too. We've just supercharged the content thought process. It'll never change. We want to humanize anybody we work with. We want people to fall in love with our players and fall in love with our team historically, currently, and we want to do it when their helmets are off, but we can also now do it when the helmets are on. And I've had, very rarely have I had that. I had it in 2019 with the 49ers. We were a really good team. Then I had it in almost the entire 2000s with the Eagles and Andy Reid. We had 8 years out of 10, we were winning. But it is very rare to have excellence on the field and off the field and have a team like I have that's able to cover this. So it's crazy. The content just gets better, but the strategy only shifts because now it includes the entire buffet as opposed to just a portion of it.
In your career, and in my career too, you've seen kind of platform shift. And I specifically want to talk about social media, right? You talk about being back in the mid 90s at Penn State and doing work there to now we have platforms that in the early 90s, we never could have even dreamed of, right? You know, Twitter and video on social media was really becoming a little bit more prevalent towards your time at the Chiefs. And then it just exploded over your time at the 49ers to now. What was your perception of social media as a platform in the beginning, and where is that now, and how does that relate to your content strategy?
Well, my MySpace account is just falling flat. It's just not getting as much juice as it used to. You know, it's amazing. I have seen I've literally seen it from, I got a call in 2008 from a good buddy of mine, Andy Hurwitz, and he's like, dude, there's this new platform called Twitter and it's unbelievable. It's like real time. I couldn't even wrap my head around it, Brock, of what it was. Now I can't get enough of it. I actually love it. That's where I get my news. That's where I get, you know, my sports fix. I was just talking to a young woman who was in here and the idea was back in the day, the highest form of the ecosystem was broadcast television shows, 30-minute television shows. That was my bread and butter. That's what I came up on. Maybe somewhere in the middle was the stadium show, but it was only for a certain number of eyeballs, right? 80,000 folks. And then below that was like the YouTube as it started to kind of come up and that thought process. And even though maybe the content that was on it was crappy, it was expected. Like the crappiness was accepted. And now everything is completely flipped. Television, in my opinion, on, with the exception of, let's say, appointment television, with the exception of sports, is dead, in my opinion. Like, they have almost completely switched. It's become really the bottom of the totem pole, where social has become clearly the top, and it's not going anywhere. I will say that my heart kind of hurts because long form storytelling has become a little bit of a thing of the past. Although, I mean, if you binge watch anything on Netflix, which every single person can say they do, whether it's The Sopranos or whether it's Ozarks or anything, like, that's great long form storytelling. But sports long form storytelling, because of what's the average view of a video in the United States, something like 9 seconds right now. It's some scary number. It's really eaten into being able to tell a story, but it's actually made better storytellers because we have to truncate and we have to concentrate how we're trying to get something across because people just aren't as engaged anymore. I'm amazed at what an absolute asset social media is, but it can also be a weapon to your storytelling, a weapon against your storytelling. I think that what we are going to do here at the Chiefs is what I would hope that most people would do. And I've seen other companies, that some that I've recently been a part of, abandon this thought process, which really hurts, which is, I think you have to have a buffet. I'll go back to that. You have to have something short form. You have to have something mid and social, short form, mid form, and long form. You know, when you go to a buffet, you just don't want dessert, because if you eat too much dessert, you're going to get sick and there's no value to it. If you eat too many steak and potatoes, that's just going to fill you up and it's just too much. You need to have soup, you need to have salad in the middle. Like, you got to have everything. And what I want to offer is fans of all ages, all levels of expertise on our team, whether you're just joining us or whether you've been with us for 60 years, I want you to be able to come to that buffet and I want you to be able to eat. And so that's kind of how I look at it. And I do think social media has definitely added to that, but it's put a strain on how we can tell our story properly. We just have to find better ways to do it. And we have, again, so many talented people. We've just increased our social production by 100%. We've added more social producers than we've ever had. We've added more designers than we've ever had. We now have 2 social producers, 3 designers. We have a massive pen of producers. I think we're gonna have a total of 6 when it's all said and done. We just hired 8 new seasonals, which are also content creators. So we're putting a lot of stock into that, you know, that social, but I definitely want to make sure that we don't forget the outlying pieces that made us great and really connect with folks who maybe aren't as socially aware.
I don't want you to give away the farm here or anything, but what does the Kansas City Chiefs content plan look like leading up to what is everybody who in the league or has been in the league knows is the busiest time of the year, training camp here into preseason, into the actual season? What does your content lineup look like, and then how do you go about prioritizing and attacking that?
Okay, so I'm going to get cocky here for a second. I'm going to say everybody on the league is on watch as of right now, because we're about to be ridiculous. The stuff we're about to put out is ridiculous. That's number one. Number two, if I could assimilate it to a food, it would be ice cream with M&Ms on it at Disney World, and you're about to get on like the Haunted Mansion, which is the best ride at Disney World. That's how good it's going to be. The team is doing some great things. We are we will bring back the franchise, which was not able, we were not able to have that last year, which is really a sort of a Hard Knocks. We will have better access than we've ever had. Again, reuniting with Andy and the team here has been great. And the team did a great job of creating that and maintaining that trust and relationship. Even when I wasn't here, the team obviously being good is definitely going to help. We are doing some really cool behind the scenes stuff. Camp will be wild because we're going to have fans back again. Thank God. 100% capacity, unless anything crazy happens in the stadium, as you've probably heard. It allows us to reinvent, not only because we're coming out of COVID, but, you know, me coming here and sort of reigniting this group bouncing off of my energy and us adding some wonderful women and men, you know, from the seasonal end, as well as the producing and design end. I would say if you get a chance, either A, follow us at Chiefs across all the platforms, because you're not going to be sad at what you see. I also will say we're going to be doing a lot of things with influencers from the cultural collaboration standpoint. We're doing stuff with music across the country. We're doing stuff with personalities and celebrities across the country. I just got off the phone with a pretty good one, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And if this team does what I think it's going to do on the field, this might be my favorite season, and I haven't even started it yet.
Another keyword you said in there that I think everybody's focusing on right now is influencers, and how do they interact with your team and specifically players, right? Because NFL players now are not just athletes. They're not just media personalities. They're social media influencers. I think about, you know, I've always, ever since he got into the league, I've followed Travis Kelce on every single social media platform ever. Right. And now he's not just a football player. He's a fashion influencer. Right. People are always looking to see, oh, what is Travis Kelce wearing now? How do you guys incorporate that into your content? And how do you talked about humanizing NFL players. How do you use that side of their personality and their passions to maybe help humanize them or work that into your day-to-day content?
Yeah. You know what? A guy like Travis is your perfect example. Perfect example. Dude's bigger than life. Super good looking guy. Really fun to be around. He's got every makeup of a personality. Oh, and by the way, he just happens to be a really fabulous football player too. Most of these guys, Brock, as you know, and let's even talk about other players from other teams. soccer, basketball, baseball, they use surplus and followers on their account alone. We just exceeded, I want to say, 8 million total followers across all of our platforms. There's probably 20 million that we don't even know about that aren't following us. But some of these guys have 6, 7, 8 million of their own followers across their platforms too. So to get people involved, to get them involved, create trust with them, allows us to link people that maybe were fans of them just because, you know, he's a fashionista or he's a good looking guy or whatever it might be. If we can grab a little bit of that, but we do that for every single player, or let's say we link with an amazing band, or let's say we link with an amazing actor or actress, their followers might follow us from a bandwagon standpoint, which seems like a bad word. It's not. I will take every bandwagon fan you want to give me a, come join us. There's plenty of room at the Chiefs Kingdom for you. And my thought process, if we hit all of these different areas from fashion to music to Hollywood, and we somehow, some way create new fans because of it, well, God bless us, because that's exactly what we're going to try to do. And using a guy like a Travis, or, you know, it's funny, we have a joke in here, it's the Patrick Mahomes effect. Like, first of all, the guy's a complete stud. But second of all, off the field, he's super kind, super lovable. He's ingrained in Kansas City. And a lot of the success we have is because he's so good and he's really the new face. He's a face of the NFL. And it's just wonderful. We'll take that all day long. And, you know, we feel like, and I speak for all the content creators who work for a team, you know, we're the one group that should bring you something that nobody else can bring you. And that's what Travis knows. You know, when we're working with him on media day, he sees us, he knows we're a welcomed, not that the media is the bad guy, but we're in-house. And the in-house can bring him things that maybe his grandkids will see. Or he knows that if in fact, and hopefully that doesn't happen, if we have a bad season, we're going to cover him exactly the same way we covered him if we were Super Bowl champs. So I think that those guys are super important to us. They're basically our influencers, but our goal is to add to that armada of influencers outside of this building and inside the building.
Well, you made it through all my questions. Anything we didn't cover that you wanted to hit on?
No, I'm just really excited. I think, you know, the more I hear, you know, you talk, and the more I see, I've been watching what you guys have been doing too. I, you know, there's people out there that have been really courageous and reached out on LinkedIn, or have reached out and followed, you know, you can follow me at Robert Alberino on Twitter, but have asked me questions, have DM'd me and said, hey, you know, I'm always open to hearing great ideas. I'm always open to hearing criticism. My skin is bulletproof. And I would say that these podcasts, this type of stuff that Brock and his team are doing are great, because, you know, 10 years ago, I wish that this existed so I could get insight from people, you know, that have been through, you know, the ups and the downs of the business, have gone in different markets and had success. I think there's some great things that can be learned. I hope people do follow. I hope people do listen. I hope people reach out and ask questions. But I will go back and do a disgusting plug and say, if you haven't chosen a football team yet and you want one, like, the Chiefs are wide open. You know, you can get that shirt like Brock has. You can go right on Chiefs.com and go get it. But join us, because this is going to be a really fun year. And hopefully this isn't the last time that we talk.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions. So pop on over to the sports creative community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd love it if you shared it with a friend or a coworker, and leave us a 5-star rating so other people will be able to find us as well. And don't forget to subscribe